Open to new ideas. Breaking the Mold is a highly flexible co-working space open to the whole of Cambridge University, Gestico Plus. While socially focused building helps present a more public face while supporting new collaborations. Although only a couple of miles from the heart of Cambridge and its historic colleges, the departments and faculties in the university's West Cambridge site felt slightly out on a limb, and sorely lacking in social facilities. However, a groundbreaking new building for the eminent educational body, purpose designed as an open co-working and social space for anyone within the university, and the wider public, has changed that. The West Cambridge site, which has housed a variety of research-oriented science and engineering departments since the 1960s, is to see a radical transformation, say architects Gestico Plus Wiles, which has hoped to turn it into a new lively destination quarter in the city, the West Cambridge Innovation District. The home for research and enterprise, it will have buildings interspersed by pedestrianized plazas, central gardens, lakes and urban orchards. The £40 million West Hub, which was designed by the practice and opened in April 2022, is key to the district, with the client briefing it to be a unique meeting place for people to connect and socialize. It marks a new approach by the university to learning spaces and shared used resources. Open and accessible to anyone from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Friday, the hub enables new ways for academics, researchers, students, businesses and the wider community to share, learn and collaborate. The site, including the soon-to-complete Ray Dolby Center, also designed by Gestico Plus Wiles and which will be the centerpiece of the Cavendish Laboratory, is a focal point for research in technology and the physical sciences. The Cambridge Cluster is the name given to over 5,300 firms centered around the university, which generate £18 billion in turnover. Signaling the three-story development's important new social role in the community as well as the university, it includes the first bar on the West Cambridge site, as well as a shop and cafeteria. Anna Steedon, operations manager at the West Hub, comments on the brief for this unusual scheme. It was designed from the ground floor up with people in mind. Above all, it is a place of collaboration and co-working, designed to foster connectivity and serendipitous collisions that spark new ideas. Its flexibility means its spaces can be configured to meet the daily needs of all users, students, staff, and the wider community. She adds that its external amenities in particular bring a new vibrancy to the site. Much of the accommodation will be used for research collaborations between the university and industry, but will also provide additional learning space. The West Hub accommodates the university's new foundation year program in the arts, humanities and social sciences for students who have experienced educational disadvantage, which welcomed its first students last October. The scheme's hybrid nature, part co-working office space, part academic space, part public and hospitality, meant that Gestico Plus Wiles were able to bring experience from different sectors such as workplace and co-working, and cafeteria and bar design, alongside its work in research and education sectors including for Cambridge. This led to a truly holistic, blended use scheme that responds dynamically to changing needs, says director at the practice, James Tatum. The research projects that stand out in Gestico Plus Wiles' portfolio include the Mountbatten Building for Southampton University and the Graphene Institute in Manchester, as well as the ongoing Ray Dolby Centre at the West Cambridge site. Open brief. Tatum tells ADF that the Hub and the Ray Dolby Centre, also known as Cavendish 3, essentially function as one project, but they are two very different buildings. So while there is some shared parkland between them, and a shared ground source heat pump, the Cavendish Laboratory project is more complex, with a high level of servicing and research equipment. It is undergoing nearly a year of fit-out, and is due to finish later in 2023. However, with both projects running concurrently, it was seen as a prudent move to have a single contractor, Bourget. With Gestico Plus Wiles' strong track record in education and research buildings, as well as their history working with the university, they were a natural fit. Tatum says that the briefing itself was quite challenging, with this being a world-renowned academic institution. The board interrogated the designers' suggestions individually, requiring them to demonstrate exactly why design decisions were made. However, Tatum says that before that rigor was applied to their designs, while the client body wanted a lively building, the brief wasn't clear at the outset. This meant a prolonged stage zero to establish its actual desires, during which the architects did an awful lot of interviewing, in some cases one-to-one. He says there was also a push from the planners as well as the university to increase the social spaces on the campus. They felt there wasn't any social infrastructure at all. As a result of the loose brief, and budget, says Tatum, we had to kind of go through a process of gleaning information from people who would use and work at the facility, and consolidated that into a scheme. The architect said that the completely open-ended brief, which was fitting for a flexible building with little precedent, was part of what made this a great project for the practice. It almost felt like being back at university, he tells ADF. you could sort of take it where you wanted, he says. The practice created a number of high-level schemes showing a variety of options. This organic evolution of a program and form for this unprecedented blend of typologies included the designers visiting a wide range of projects for inspiration. We did a lot of work in terms of seeing buildings at other universities, but also looked at flexible working spaces, and some quite nice restaurants and cafeterias. Tatum adds, we were casting the net wide because the university didn't want another generic kind of student hub building, they wanted something quite special, they wanted it to be somewhere that people naturally gravitated to, because it was a great place to be. Design approach. Tatum says that to not be constrained by budget, initially at least, or building area, and to be able to just kind of go with our gut instinct in terms of what was right was very satisfying. Connectivity and collaboration were the designer's guiding objectives, but inherent to that was a challenge to define certain spaces to create more intimate areas for study. In addition to that instinctive approach to a new typology, however, the architects took inspiration for the study spaces from a University of Cambridge research paper, ProtoLib, Researching and Reimagining Library Environments. This looked at needs across the university's facilities, and prototypes for groupings of users in future facilities. The architects used the document to develop a detailed brief for the hub, resulting in a concept of low, medium and high-intensity study spaces. Each of these would be distributed fairly exclusively on each of the building's three levels, with each requiring a different approach to acoustics, furniture, space and flexibility. Tatum said it was interesting to draw on a bit of real research done by the university on the sorts of spaces people liked, even plants, lighting. It added a bit of academic rigor. Program. The architects focused on addressing both the needs of the community and the preferences of the individual. In practice, this meant a mix of structured educational spaces with generous circulation areas that function well as breakout and informal social or study areas. The ground floor houses all of the food and beverage areas, as well as the substantial canteen and cafe/bar. It also contains a shop and shower rooms to encourage users to travel by bike to the hub. There is an oversized kitchen, designed to eventually also serve other parts of the university. The cafeteria serves as low-intensity study space and opens directly into the new green space and public realm. The upper two levels house different medium-intensity, first floor, and high-intensity, second floor, study spaces. They are arranged as a mix of traditional library space and a range of individual and small group study areas, in a variety of semi-enclosed and open-plan environments. There are also lecture rooms ranging from a 20-person to a 100-person theater. In terms of its form, the building is graduated vertically, with each story having a progressively lower floor to ceiling height and being more intimate. The ground floor is a lively set of spaces, the first floor is a calmer and more relaxed environment, and the upper floor quieter, for focused study. The learning spine is a series of tangerine orange-covered bespoke fixed furniture that weaves horizontally throughout the open spaces of the upper floors, taking different forms as it does so. This is a space-efficient and sculptural way to combine space division and circulation, using color to link the levels and aid wayfinding. The spine encloses private spaces, but also creates openings, frames views and subdivides larger rooms. Tatum sums up the practical benefit of the furniture for the spaces: it helps contain space without sort of necessarily putting a wall and the door on it. It connects visually to the similarly colored main stair, a striking steel-encased rectangular form extending through the atrium. It has been carefully detailed, including recessed handrails and wooden treads. As well as lining the stairs, the orange color has been used on elements like the planters on the first floor terrace, and some exterior facade panels, adding warmth, particularly at night when the facade is lit. Social life. The rigor of the briefing process, which didn't permit anything whimsical and arbitrary, says Tatum, came alongside a pragmatic consolidation of spaces across the site. Previously, each department had its own lecture theaters and seminar rooms, but also cafeterias. This meant quite a light space utilization of spaces compared with other parts of the university that shared more space. However, a flexible hub gives the facility for future buildings to avoid needing to have a large lecture theater, numerous seminar rooms or cafeteria of their own, because its spaces offer all such functions. Giving academic experts from across the university the opportunity to mix and share knowledge informally as well as formally in the new building creates infinite future possibilities for sparking of ideas, which was something that fired Jessica plus Wiles' imagination. A large part of the building's function is social, and therefore a lot of focus was placed on the bar and cafeteria design. The clients wanted a real commercial offer that would make it a destination, not a typical student dining hall. The idea was also to pull in customers from beyond the immediate campus as well, residents of Northwest Cambridge. The canteen is run by the university, but the cafe bar, on the corner of the ground floor, is leased by a private firm. The idea was to have something that was special, a bit higher end, says Tatum. Until the new building's arrival, staff wishing to take an overseas visitor for lunch, for example, were short of good options. The cafeteria and bar at ground level will open directly into green landscape to include rain gardens and recreational space, and external seating. This sits close to an east-to-west pedestrian and cycle path. Its upper floors incorporate a library service, media lab, multi-use spaces, learning resource areas, and workspaces ranging from informal open areas through to individual study booths. Learning spaces and meeting rooms are available to businesses and the wider community outside of core teaching times, for activities including social and networking events, talks and art exhibitions. Suiting its flexible, blended functions, the building itself is very blended, in a way, says Tatum, despite its different atmospheres created on each level. While the cafeteria space on the ground floor is designed as such, we didn't want it to be sitting there empty during the mornings and afternoons, so it was designed to be multifunctional, and to be a pleasant space to work in at any time. The building is clad in a veil of folded and perforated aluminium, chosen to reflect the colors of the surrounding landscape. Being perforated, its appearance changes by the hour, and by the season. At dusk, integrated lighting between the aluminium veil and the rain screen brings the building to life, say the architects, with orange facade panels contributing to it being a glowing beacon at the heart of the campus. Public access. As part of integrating the West Hub into the wider site, access for the local community will be actively encouraged, say the project team. The two main entrances have been located to provide a pedestrian route through the building that will encourage people to enter and use the facilities such as the cafeteria and the gardens beyond. Gestico Plus Wiles says that its biophilic design approach reinforces the building's link to the landscape. As a key example, the external rainwater gardens immediately adjacent to the facade are drawn into the building, forming two lush internal gardens which are located in light-filled atria. Sustainability and wellness. The West Hub is a low-energy building, having been awarded BREEAM Excellent thanks to a range of measures including high-performance building fabric and passive design approaches such as exposing the concrete frame to bring thermal mass benefits. The form has been optimized to ensure that the natural movement of heat, air and light keep conditions comfortable, while reducing energy demand, said the architects. Lighting sensors and heat recovery and the ground source heat pump shared with the adjacent Ray Dolby building have helped achieve a 10% reduction in carbon emissions, in accordance with planning requirements to move away from gas as the primary fuel. The building, say the architects, adopts many aspects of the WELL standard, including good quantities of natural light, promoting the use of stairs, activity-based working and biophilia, connection with nature. Planting and internal gardens are significant elements both inside and on the external terrace. While there are a variety of spaces to accommodate different types of work and activities to contribute to users' wellness, a strong connection with nature is achieved by integrating plants and trees both internally and externally. Pale green seating areas and interior design elements play off the more vibrant orange stair and learning spine, adding to the calm feel brought by the natural elements. Feedback. This high-quality, innovative scheme demonstrates the importance that the university attaches to encouraging academics, students and the community to come together, in a desirable, exciting shared collaborative space. Tatum says that the university is using this scheme as a reference point for future projects, adding that the feedback, from the university, has been really positive. He says that within 2 weeks of opening it was absolutely buzzing. Professor Andy Neely, who is the Pro Vice Chancellor for Enterprise and Business Relations at the University of Cambridge, commented that the West Hub has created a new heart for the West Cambridge Innovation District. He further explained the importance of Gestico Plus Wiles' welcoming, social new building to the West Cambridge campus, adding that it represents the start of the site's transformation into a more outward-facing campus, putting the science on show, nurturing the entrepreneurial strengths of the Cambridge cluster, and taking the university's research and technology to the next level. Project Fact File. Architects, Gestico Plus Wiles. Executive Architects, NBBJ. Structural Engineer, Rambal. M&E Consultant, Hawley. QS, ACOM. Accessibility Consultant, David Bonnet Associates. Landscape Consultant, Plink. Acoustic Consultant, Curry & Brown. Principal Designer, Curry & Brown. Main Contractor, Bourget.